Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Hello and welcome back to the show and episode 579. I am releasing this episode on March 8th, 2021. This day would be my daughter Sydney's 20th birthday. But if you've been connected to me for any amount of time, you will know that my daughter died of a heart defect when she was just 24 days old on April 1st, back in 2001. And each year on her birthday, I reflect upon her life and the gifts that she brought into my life and the blessings and the way she changed me and made me into the person that I am. And I did episode 577 on grief and parenting. And I kind of want to just gently touch on that and follow up on it here. And that is giving meaning to the loss of your loved one. When Sydney died, the day that she died, my husband and I decided that we wanted to start a scholarship fund in her honor. We had talked about doing a scholarship when we were in college. My husband was able to go to college because of the scholarship that Drexel University had given him. We both met at Drexel because we were both the same year at Drexel. And so he was only able to go there because of a scholarship. And so we felt that it would be very good for us to give back or pay it forward to help other kids go to college. And so right after she died on a Sunday in the wee hours of the morning. And on Monday, we went to the funeral home to make the just gut-wrenchingly awful arrangements and write her obituary and all of this horrific stuff that I never would have wanted to ever do, but had no choice. When we went into the funeral home, it was a gray and dreary morning. And when we came out, it was still gray and dreary. We left the funeral home, we drove right to the bank, and we opened an account for her scholarship fund. When we left the bank, all the clouds had parted and the sun was out. It was unbelievable. And it was so comforting because we knew that this was going to help us give meaning to her life and honor her very short life. And I was very aware of it in that moment when we walked out of the bank. And it was a beautiful, sunny day for the rest of the day. We ended up creating a 501c3 official charity in Sydney's honor, and we called it the Sydney May Taylor Foundation. And we operated it for 12 years through the births of the rest of our children and their young years growing up. And we gave scholarships to kids who were going to college who had heart defects, who were living with heart defects. And then we sent younger heart kids to a special heart summer camp where they had a nurse on staff 24/7, and it was, everything was dedicated to helping them have a great camp experience and connect with other kids who might have a similar experience growing up. And then each year we had a golf tournament to raise money for our scholarships and our giving to the summer camp kids. And then a few years into that, we started also doing a casino night fundraiser. So we had two huge fundraisers every year where we would raise money to fund our scholarships and the summer camp. And I remember the first fundraiser we ever did was a car wash. It was just a few weeks after our daughter died and a few weeks after we started the bank account. And we raised over $1,000 at our car wash, and we were very excited. But in the days leading up to the car wash, it was on a Saturday morning, the weather was not looking promising. It was really looking iffy. And when we woke up, and everybody was emailing and calling me saying, are we still doing this? Because we had volunteers and everything. Are we going to do the car wash if it's raining? And we decided that, of course, we would postpone the car wash if it was raining. But I said, let's not decide now. Let's just decide in the morning. And so we woke up in the morning. I think the car wash was 9 to 1. We woke up in the morning and it was raining. And like magic, at 8:45, the rain stopped, the clouds disappeared, and the sun came out bright and sunny and warm. And then we had beautiful weather from 9 to 1 that day, and around 1:05, the clouds rolled back in, the skies opened up, and it began raining again. That became the experience for us ever since. Sometimes on our golf tournaments, we would have just a beautiful sunny day. But there were several where it was raining the day before and raining the morning of, and it stopped raining an hour before we were supposed to begin, and the skies opened up and the sun came out. And so I feel like we were always charmed. And I feel like Sydney was up there working the controls on the weather. And even to this day, when we have a family party or something where we need to have good weather, I always say, people will say, it's supposed to rain. And I say, it doesn't rain on our parade. And for the last 20 years, when we've really needed some nice weather, it's always come through for us. I don't know how it happens every time, but I trust it. I trusted it then, and I've always trusted it. We always have good weather. And I feel like we have a little special angel up there working the weather controls for us. So running the scholarship, or the nonprofit foundation in her honor, was a great way for us to bring meaning to her life. And I always said from the very day that she died, I'm going to make something good come of her death and her life, because if I don't, then I have suffered in vain. I'm going to learn everything I possibly can from her life and her death and her loss, and I'm going to make this valuable, because if I don't, I'm now suffering for no apparent reason. And so I read every book on grief and being a bereaved parent that I could get my hands on. I became an expert in the subject. I went to support groups. I kept a journal. I did everything. I went to a grief counselor. I did everything in my power to process through my grief, to move through it, to allow my heart to heal from that devastating loss. And 20 years later, I I have a wonderful life. I have a beautiful life. I have a life that I'm so grateful for. It doesn't mean that the grief is gone forever. Sometimes it still sneaks up on me, and I'll be driving down the street and a song will come on that reminds me of her, and I'll just start crying my eyes out to the point where I can't even barely see because my eyes are filled with tears. So, you know, that's kind of the way grief is. Sometimes it jumps out at you when you least expect it. And it happens much more frequently early on in the grief process. But as time goes on, it happens less frequently, but it still happens and it still catches you off guard when it happens. But getting back to it, bringing meaning to the death of our loved one is very important. I feel that it's a very important way to honor their life and what they meant to us, but it's also a wonderful way to heal yourself and move through the grief process. When our kids were all very young, we made the decision 12 years into running the foundation that it was time to retire. It was getting really hard to put all that work and effort into twice a year, huge fundraisers. And the kids were very young and it was getting really hard. Our youngest was 4, and then we had a 6-year-old and then a 9-year-old. And it was really, really hard. They were needing more and more of my time. And I still was working part-time as well, and it was just too much. It was becoming stressful rather than joyful and fun. And so we made the difficult decision to retire from the foundation. And we donated the rest of the money that we had in the account to a heart defect research project, a research study in a children's hospital. So we used every dollar that we had to continue to bring meaning and honor to her life. And speaking of meaning, we stayed in touch with many of our scholarship recipients. Some of them are now married. They've gotten jobs. They've bought houses. They've had kids of their own. It brings me such joy to watch these young people grow up and build their lives and live their lives. And it makes me feel so good that we were able to play a small part in their lives in honor of Sydney. I remember particularly one of our first scholarship recipients. Sometimes when they were able, they would come to our golf tournaments, and sometimes they would come with a parent, especially the ones who lived far away. And so one year we had a scholarship recipient and her mom come. And her mom, they would stay at our house and we would host them for the weekend, and they would come to the golf tournament or the casino night and, you know, help out and speak at the event. And one night we were sitting at the kitchen table and her mom told me that for this particular year, or this particular recipient, we had enough money to give her $3,000 a year for her whole 4 years. And her mom told me that they were sitting at the kitchen table looking at their finances, the cost of the tuition and the room and board and the scholarships and the loans that they had. And they were coming up $3,000 short, and they were desperately trying to figure out where they could get $3,000 more to allow their daughter to go to the school of her choice. And in the middle of that meeting that they were having at the kitchen table, they went to get the mail, and our letter came in the mail letting her know that we had chosen her for the scholarship and we were awarding her $3,000. And it was exactly the amount of money she needed to be able to say yes. And I still get chills thinking about it. And even something like that that's so poignant and so specific and so marvelous, it reminds me, and it heals my heart, because, you know, it touches my heart, because I know that it is because of our daughter Sydney that the chain of events could have occurred for us to be able to show up with the exact amount of money that this young lady needed to be able to afford to go to college. What a blessing that is. And so would I rather have my daughter here with me today and for the last 20 years than be able to give someone else a scholarship? Absolutely. And I don't feel selfish for saying that. I would take my daughter living and being here with me a gazillion times over anything else, any day, any time. But given that I didn't have that option and I couldn't make that choice and there was nothing I could do about it, it does bring me a great deal of comfort and joy and gratitude to know that we were able to have impacts like that in the lives of young people. And so that was a huge way that we brought meaning to Sydney's life and her death. And then also the way her life and death continues to shape me is in my parenting with our other three kids and in the work that I do. And in the conversations that I have, when I am speaking with a friend or a client who is struggling mightily with something, it could be anything, I fall back often on my experience with Sydney and the gut-wrenching horror that we went through with her and what I learned out of it and how I have been able to take that, learn from it, heal from it, and live a life that I'm so grateful to live. I remember shortly after she died, it didn't even feel right to smile. The week, it was probably about 5 days after she died, and one of our friends kind of strong-armed us into going out to dinner in his attempt to help us. It was helpful to my husband because it got his mind off of it, but it was exactly the opposite of what I needed, because at that point, I needed to do nothing other than just dive in headfirst into my grief and just be in it until I could come up for air. And that's another point. Everybody grieves differently, and we have to recognize and respect and honor that. And so we went to this restaurant, and I had never been there before, and I've never been there since. I had such a miserable experience. As I sat in this restaurant and looked around, I looked at the other patrons at the tables, and they were laughing and joking and having conversation, enjoying their meals. And I felt like an alien. I couldn't even smile. I couldn't even bring myself to smile, let alone feel happiness or joy. That wasn't even available to me at that point, so early on in the grief process. And so I looked around and I thought, oh my gosh, all these people in this restaurant, they're living their lives like it's just a normal day, but my child is dead. Don't they understand this? How can they be happy right now? And that's kind of the inner shouting match that I was experiencing that whole dinner. And so the concept, the idea of being happy and joyful and smiling or laughing was just impossible and foreign and just totally out of the question back then in those very early days. It hadn't even been a week at that point since she died. But I did heal. I did do the work. A tremendous amount of emotional labor. A tremendous amount. But it was all worth it because I did come up for air. I did see the sun again. I did see the light in the middle of that dark tunnel. I was reaching for it and running towards it and working to get there. And I did heal. And yes, I still feel sad. And yes, I still miss her. But gosh, I've brought so much meaning to her presence in my life. And I've brought so much, I think, help and inspiration and comfort and compassion to other people because of her. Because of her. And so I hope that somewhere in here in my story and my remembering about my sweet girl, Sydney, I hope that there's something in here that resonates with you, that inspires you, that helps you in your current struggles, whether it's just a struggle or whether it's actually grief of losing someone that you cared about deeply. Bringing meaning to the loss of that special loved one is one of the very best ways that you can heal your aching heart. So I would like to wish my baby girl a happy 20th birthday. I know that she's smiling down on me every day and that she is with me and in my heart every day. I feel her there every day. And so my wish for you today is peace and comfort and joy and gratitude. I will see you next time. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.